you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello. We're here at The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and Weekly.
LiveParanormal.com.
Weekly. Weekly at LiveParanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks!
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host. Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Celebrating her 9th anniversary as the Ghost Host, it's Sophia Temporelli right here on LiveParanormal.com.
The Ghost Host.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Celebrating 9 years of broadcasting here on this very network, and congratulations, Sophia, on that anniversary. Just over 9 years on this network. Thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder of LiveParanormal.com, for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators. Thank you guys for all of your help patching us through at live events over the years where we had no internet feed. Thank you guys for all of your help. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. We hope everyone's keeping safe out there. Today, as featured on Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures, we welcome back Pacific Coast Haunts founder, manager, events coordinator, RTC box inventor, and LiveParanormal.com brother host, Rob Hernandez. Everyone, visit GoldenStateHaunts.org. That's GoldenStateHaunts.org, TheSuperCon.com, LiveParanormal.com, and Twitter at PCH Paranormal. Upcoming, we have paranormal investigative author Sam Baldrist on the show. He'll be on the 1st. That's next Saturday. Also, Shadow People, The Hat Man, Angel author Heidi Hollis will be on the program on the 22nd. of August. We have other people securing their dates and picking their times as well, too. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. Like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook group page to find about who our guests are going to be real time. Also, like liveparanormal.com, their group page, too, as well. Support the memberships here. The packages start as low as $2.99 a month on Live Paranormal. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. They're all done here under the memberships page, thumbnail on Live Paranormal. As well, support the vendors here on liveparanormal.com. Tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghostlight Radio, as well, monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now Kindred Spirits, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhart, and many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of liveparanormal.com. Let's go ahead. Let's bring our host here. Let's see. Trying to unmute. Had a little bit of a delay there. Sophia, congratulations. 9 years of broadcasting. You're doing a fantastic job.
Hey, thank you. I can't believe it's already been 9 years.
I know. You're doing a great job. You've helped a lot of people over the years. But you got all these pages. You got the Twitter, you got all the Facebook, all these different things. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L and Instagram at Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, and your YouTube too. We're going to be putting up too. We have a video coming up. We have several videos coming up on your YouTube channel, which is doing really well. I mean, you got a lot of followers and subscribers there. So you're doing a fantastic job. And so tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
Today, we welcome Pacific Coast Haunts founder, RTC Box inventor, and LiveParanormal.com brother host, Rob Hernandez. Everyone visit GoldenStateHaunts.org, TheSuperCon.com, LiveParanormal.com, Twitter at PCH Paranormal. Let's welcome Rob back into the show.
Yeah, and Rob's been doing a lot of investigating this week. I'm going to try to unmute him, too, as well. Here we go. Let's see. Three, two. There we go, Rob. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, how's it going?
Thank you so much for coming on today. We're doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. And congratulations on your 9th year. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been great, you know, being able to interview awesome people like yourself. Thank you again for coming back on today.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I just got back literally from Devil's Gate about half hour ago. So, So my day's already been off to a good start.
Like very paranormal field day off.
Yeah, it was early morning. Kind of got up, took off about 8 o'clock, got up there, did some investigating. Had to do a return visit. Just had some crazy stuff happening last weekend. So decided to go up there and do some filming and see what we could find.
Well, I know that you were there recently. You know, for the audience who doesn't know about Devil's Gate, can you tell them a little bit about it and, you know, what have you actually captured there?
So Devil's Gate is located at a dam near, it's in Pasadena. It's kind of near JPL. And supposedly Jack Parsons, L. Ron Hubbard, and Alistair Crowley did some, I guess, some rituals there at the base of the dam. So there's a lot of crazy things that have gone on. They did some Babylon rituals there, things like that. So a lot of strange occurrences do happen there quite often. I don't know if it's just the energy that they brought to the location. But all the investigators that I have talked to and from personal experiences, there's supposedly a little boy that was kidnapped and ended up, there's a tragic event. I guess he died there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've heard children's voices. We've seen shadow people, strange lights. Today we're hearing disembodied voices. Last weekend we saw a shadow person.
Oh, wow.
So Yeah, so in the way that the tunnel, the light comes in from the tunnel, you know, your shadows are going to be casted behind you. So we were seeing the shadow casted forward in front of us. None of us had lights on or anything like that. There's only two of us in there. And we didn't have any, you know, the only thing we had at that time was our camera, or was our cell phones, because we were in GoPro. We weren't there to do any investigating. We were just kind of there just to go on a hike and go check it out. So when we saw the shadow person, we were hearing disembodied voices. Then we were like, all right, I need to do a return visit this time. Go prepared for an investigation. So that's what today was. And yeah, it still did disappoint. No shadow person captured this time, but we did capture some strange disembodied voices. During EVP session, during playback, I mean, we did like a 5-minute session. The playback was only like 30 seconds, and we're like, what happened to the rest of the footage? Where's all the pauses? There was no pauses, no gaps in between anything. So, yeah, it was really strange. So, once I go through the evidence and go through my footage and things like that, it'll be interesting to see what was captured on camera.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what you captured. It looks like a really interesting location, and it's cool, you know, when you were just walking around, you were able to see so much, you know, kind of hanging out.
Yeah, no, and, you know, and I haven't been doing a lot of investigating, I think, because of the whole COVID thing. So I've been doing a lot more urban exploring lately, and it's funny because some of the things we capture during urban exploring is pretty amazing. There's a lot of paranormal events that do happen. And the one person that I do go urban exploring with, he's not really into the paranormal. He kind of freaks him out. So when there's occurrences happening, I kind of don't say anything. And he normally brings it up to me saying, did you hear those voices, man? I said, yeah. He said, where were they coming from? And there's nobody obviously in the location. And then we're hearing weird footsteps, and I'm off running towards the footsteps, and he's kind of like going the other way. And so then we kind of talk about it on the way back. So, yeah, it's kind of funny.
Well, it's great you're able to have that confirmation from someone, too, that, you know, is more completely objective, because they just don't want to believe that that just happened.
Exactly. And that's pretty cool, because he's kind of like a skeptic. Well, now I think he's more of a believer, but he really doesn't want to have anything to do with the paranormal. So it's kind of cool that, you know, that I do have him there confirming what we're experiencing and things like that. So.
And I know you were saying, you know, with COVID that you haven't been able to go on many investigations recently, but are there any upcoming that you have been able to plan, or what was your most recent investigation before all this happened?
You know, I haven't been really investigating much. I've been really busy, you know, building boxes and things like that. So, I don't really have anything planned as of yet. Just because we don't know when this is all going to end, and I don't want to, I get really disappointed if I plan something and then things fall through. So I don't get myself hyped up for that. When something does just get planned for the moment and then I'm able to go, that just makes things a little bit more exciting for me. So yeah, I haven't really planned anything.
Well, I do know that you, like you said, are very busy building, RTC boxes, and you're very amazing at inventing new equipment, and your equipment has been featured on paranormal shows like Ghost Adventures. Can you tell us what initially kind of led you to wanting to create your own equipment?
So the way that everything got started was I purchased a couple of ghost boxes. And a ghost box is used for spirit communication. In theory, you know, spirits are going to manipulate some of the radio transmissions, or they'll use the radio frequencies to communicate over a radio or through a spirit box. So I ended up buying a couple from a couple of different people, and I just wasn't happy with the work that went into them, I guess. So somebody kind of knew that I knew that I was developing a couple of different things. And they're like, Rob, you need to go ahead and do something. I mean, you could do so much, you know, so much, such a better job at creating something like this. So people mm-hmm. just kept on like pushing me. And I said, you know what? All right, fine. I'm going to go ahead and build something. So I did. And it came out okay. Then over time, I just kept on playing around with different things, getting different ideas. Then one day I just built something for somebody, for a friend of mine who was really into using ghost boxes and ITC work. So I built something, gave it to him, and all of a sudden I get a call maybe a few days later, and he's just blown away. And he found something on the radio that I didn't even know existed at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, hey, when I set the radio, you know, when I set it to a different, to a certain position on the dial that you use to adjust what's called a sweep rate, so it'll change the speed on how a radio will sweep through radio stations. So he said, if you turn it a certain position or all the way to counterclockwise or clockwise, all of a sudden you're not going to hear any more sweeping. You're just going to start hearing responses. And I said, wait, what? What are you talking about? And he said, do you have another radio? I said, yeah. I said, I'm building one right now. And he said, okay, go grab it. And I said, he said, is it finished?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I just haven't put it in the case yet. And he said, okay, go turn it on. Showed me where to put the dial and things like that. Then all of a sudden I turned it on. And first thing out of the box came my name, his name, and then some other responses. So
oh, wow.
I was like, wait a minute, what? So he said, yeah. He said, see, I told you. And I said, wow, this is kind of crazy. I said, hey, why don't you come over next weekend? And I want to just sit down with you. We're going to kind of go over a couple of things. So we did that. And so him and I are sitting there. He has he brought his radio with him. We turned it on and
mm-hmm.
we set it to that setting. I grabbed the radio I just built, turned it on, set it to that setting. All of a sudden, the two boxes were communicating with each other. And so we're sitting there, and we're kind of like in disbelief, and we're kind of chatting amongst each other, and the boxes are responding to what we're talking about. So like they joined in on the conversation, and then also we're talking to each other and asking each
mm-hmm.
other like questions, and the boxes were responding to our questions. To each other. So we're like, wait, what the heck is going on here? So yeah, we were just like, I was blown away. He was blown away. And he's like, dude, and you just came up with this. And he said, you set up the city that you didn't even know existed. And I was like, he said, what were you thinking? I said, I don't know. I said, this is a new circuit. I just designed it and it's just working. So it's just something I stumbled across. Now I kind of explain everybody, hey, when you get to radio set it in this position and everything, the first thing that they tell me, I've gotten this from several different people. Every
mm-hmm.
time they get their box, they turn it on for the first time, their name comes through, my name comes through. And
so
people are just blown away.
What is your process, you know, building the boxes? What is, like, you know, what do you do to actually build them?
Well, I have to sit down and I build the first part I build is I modify an FM tuner.
Mm-hmm.
So I modify that, and then I build on the sweep circuit, and then from there I just build everything on, like, battery connector, putting it into the case, adding the sweep dials and things like that, reset buttons, just different, the antenna. So it's just like building a radio from scratch that looks like kind of like a walkie-talkie, or I might put it in a custom-built box to their liking, like make it look like an old radio or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, they're all custom-built to whatever the user, the end user wants it to look like, or I just have a a standard design that I use that looks like a walkie-talkie, an old walkie-talkie. But like I said, sometimes people want it to look like an old radio or like a 20s-style radio or something like that. So it all depends on what the customer wants.
And how long do they usually take you to make?
Usually probably about the whole build time is usually about 6 or 7 hours, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not that bad. And it gives me kind of something to do. It's just a hobby that I started. And so, you know, usually I'll start it in the morning and finish it up in the afternoon and ship it out that same day or the next day. So my turnaround's kind of quick. I try to get them out pretty quick because people are excited to just get their hands on it and use it. So.
Well, that's very impressive that you can do all of that. I couldn't even imagine, you know, disassembling anything, just looking at the inside of something, my brain just like stops working.
Right, right. And then sometimes I've gotten, you know, people asking, you know, how do you build, let's say, a REM pod or something like that. So I've done how-to videos like on YouTube or something like that and post them up on there. And so just kind of giving people on that want to play around and build something themselves and be able to use it and during an investigation say, look, you know what, I built this myself. So yeah, it's kind of cool having people do that too and reaching out to me and say thank you for helping them build that, things like that. So yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really great you do that. I know that paranormal equipment can be very expensive. So for people just wanting to start out, that can be extremely helpful to just give them kind of a base to go off of without, you know, having to pay like extremely high prices.
No, exactly. And that's kind of why I started doing it too is, you know, there's people out there charging, God, just ungodly amounts of money to build a ghost box. Or a custom-made ghost box. So somebody said, hey, why don't you do this and charge, you know, like a tenth of the price? So that's what I started doing. And that kind of, you know, I know some people even still say, well, some of your equipment's really expensive. And I said, well, it's still not as expensive as most of the boxes out there. Yes, they're kind of pricey.
Yeah.
But yes, I had to put in a lot of time and money to develop these boxes. So you know, I have to try to make that back a little bit, but I still don't charge. I don't get price gouge by any means.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, speaking of people starting out in the paranormal, what kind of initially made you want to investigate the paranormal and kind of made you believe in it?
So I had my first experience, I think I was about 4 or 5 years old. Well, I saw that. I know you have this topic coming up. I saw the Hat Man. I didn't really know what it was until later. And so I started getting more and more into the paranormal. And then they were like, wait a minute, you saw the Hat Man? And I said, well, it was a guy, you know, in a hat. He had like a long trench coat, you know, with like coattails. And it was, you know, so then from there, also, when I saw that, I used to get these certain feelings whenever I would go into a house and I would kind of like go to the bathroom in somebody's home and then run out of the bathroom and people were like, well, what's the matter? And so people started thinking I was afraid of the dark. So I started going to, you know, therapy about that, for a few years. And then they were like, he's not afraid of the dark. We don't know what it is. We don't know what he's afraid of. And so when I was 12, I was at the Olivas Adobe there for a wedding. And I went upstairs. So if people have never been there, it's an old house, which is very haunted. And I didn't know of that at the time. And there's been a couple of apparitions seen there. One is called the Lady in Black, and there's been a couple of men seen there. But anyway, so I went upstairs, and I was looking in through the window because the museum was closed up or the house was closed up at that time. because of the wedding. And so I was looking through the windows and I saw this lady in black walking, and then she started walking towards me. And I got that same feeling like I would get when I was younger, whenever I'd go into a house. And then I literally ran down the stairs. And people were like, "What's the matter?" And I was like, "Nothing," because I didn't want to say, "Oh, no, I saw this lady up there." But so when I saw her, I was expecting somebody to come out. Nobody ever came out of the house. So then I started putting pieces together. Wait a minute. When I'm here, when I was here, I got these feelings. When I was here, I got these feelings. So and then I started asking the homeowners of those houses that I was going to as kids, because they're friends of my parents. And I said, "Do you guys have weird experience happen here?" And they said, "What do you mean?" And then so I just started asking them more and more questions, and kind of find out their houses were haunted. They were having hauntings there at those homes. And then I started saying, "Oh, that's what those feelings are." So come to find out, I just started figuring out that I was a sensitive, and where I could start actually seeing spirits and things like that. So I was like, "Oh, so that's what it is." So then that's how I got into the paranormal. I just was looking for answers.
Well, that's amazing, you know, that you had those experiences at such a young age, and, you know, we're kind of able to go from there and grow in the field of the paranormal. I know since your start in the paranormal, you also have started Pacific Coast Haunts. Can you tell us a little bit about what initially started the team?
So I had a team back in the early 90s. I started it in 89. And that was Ventura County Ghost Hunters. And so my team kind of, it was only, we're doing a lot of research. It was me and actually two other people. And they kind of moved away. So I was kind of doing everything independently. And then I moved away to Georgia. I came back. And then once I came back, I started wanting to get back into the paranormal. So I started meeting with other people, kind of doing little investigations with other people. And then I was in another group, and then that group disbanded. And then that's when I started Pacific Coast Haunts, or PCH Paranormal. And then, my group kind of got pretty popular and started doing a lot of more and more investigations, doing a lot of residentials, things like that. And that's kind of how it all started.
Well, it's great that, you know, you established your own team. I know you were mentioning that you do residentials. Do you still work on residentials? And where can people contact you for help if they do?
I haven't done any residentials in quite a while. I kind of just stopped doing them. I was just having a lot of bad experiences with clients. Doing residentials can be a little tricky, because you have to screen clients really, really well. And even clients, though, sometimes they might start saying things that you really want to hear, or they might sound like, "Wow, this person really has some issues." They're at their home. You go into the home and it's like, "Wait a minute, you know, this isn't happening. I mean, everything's like normal here. Everything that they're experiencing can be explained." And then it normally comes down to, "Well, this person has some mental issues," and you find out that yes, they're heavily medicated or things like that. So it's like, so that became a really big turnoff for me. And then the more and more I was doing screenings, I was finding out that there was drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and just mental issues. So I just kind of stopped doing them. But I mean, I'm always open to doing some. Actually, I was just, somebody reached out to me and was, we were just talking about that, and there might be another case coming up. But if somebody does have any issues and they do want to contact me, they can reach me at theparaawakening.com, and my email address is theparaawakening@gmail.com. The Pair Awakening is my RTC box website. So if you want to check out any of my boxes or anything like that, you can go to theparaawakening.com and check them out.
Well, that's great that, you know, you put yourself out there and help people. I know, especially in a quarantine, I'm sure there's quite a few people that are just now realizing that there may be more to their house than they originally thought.
No, and that's a good point.
Well, I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Our guest today, featured on Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures, Pacific Coast Haunts founder, manager, events coordinator, RTC box inventor, and LiveParanormal.com brother host, Rob Hernandez. Everyone visit GoldenStateHaunts.org. That's GoldenStateHaunts.org, ParanormalAwakening.com, thesupercon.com, and also on Twitter, at PCH Paranormal. The Ghost Host Show. We'll be right back with Rob right after this, and still trying to unmute here. Here we go.
Hey,
we'll
this
right
is
back.
Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Believe.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
Oh, poor Dave Schrader. Almost left out of the voiceover or the voice bumpers there. Again, Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures. We welcome Pacific Coast Haunts founder, manager, events coordinator, RTC box inventor, and LiveParanormal.com brother host. And I meant to say, as featured on Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures, Rob Hernandez. Everyone visit ParanormalAwakening.com, also where you can reach him too. ParanormalAwakening.com, GoldenStateHaunts.org, thesupercon.com, liveparanormal.com, and Twitter at PCH Paranormal. I'm trying to unmute everybody too. Again, apologies for just the lag. There we go. We got everybody unmuted. Sophia, Rob, you're back in.
Okay.
Thank you again so much for coming on today.
Oh, no problem.
So I know with your investigating, you also investigate with a very good friend of yours, Eric Van Leer. Can you tell us a little bit about how you guys initially became friends and what are some of the investigations you've done together?
So Eric, I met through a meetup group, and that he was, so he runs VIP Paranormal. So I was actually managing that group for a while. So, Yeah, I was kind of doing a lot of the, I guess we're doing a lot of residential, so I was doing a lot of the screenings and things like that for for Eric and for the group. But some of the investigations we've done, some of the residentials were pretty crazy. We actually had one that we did, we worked on for almost a year. We were probably going back and forth to the location probably every other weekend, sometimes every weekend, going back and forth. The client basically abandoned the house. So, she owned a couple of homes, and this was in Brea and Buena Park. So it was literally maybe a mile and a half from Disneyland. So she basically gave me the keys to the home, and it was a gorgeous home, fully furnished, but she just packed up all her stuff and just left. So she was staying at her other house, and then so I would sometimes meet her there just to talk to her a little bit. And so I had different psychics coming in, other people coming in to kind of get their senses of the home. Yeah, it was one of the most, it's just really hard to explain. It was like one of the most craziest, really emotional, God, it was just like all over the place. And there was actually during one of our last investigations there, we finally went in, kind of started getting an idea of what was happening in the home. And we went in to do a final cleansing of the house. And during the after the cleansing was over, I've never felt the house feel this peaceful. So somebody, actually, we were on the phone with somebody after we did the cleansing, and we were, the psychic that I was with was on the phone with one of her girlfriends. And she said, you guys need to stay there at least until 3 a.m. At 3 a.m., if nothing else happens, you guys can leave. And we're like, okay. So her son was telling us he was autistic. He started screaming on the phone, get them out of the house. They need to leave the house. He didn't even know where we were, who was on the phone, nothing. And he just started screaming that. And we're like, okay. So I said, look, I'm going to go get us dinner. It was probably like 9 o'clock when all that was happening. So I left, got dinner, came back. So I locked up the garage. I locked up the house, and just there was an investigator and psychic in the living room. I left to go get dinner. I came back, and they were sitting in the same spot. I went into the garage or into the kitchen. All the lights in the house, in the that side of the house, were all on. The garage door was open, and the light in the garage was on. And I said, why did you guys go in the garage and turn on the lights? And they said, we didn't turn anything on. We've been sitting here in the same spot when you left. And I said, okay, but why are all the back lights on? And they were like, what? What are you talking about? They went in and they saw the lights on. The garage door was open. They said, we didn't even go into the garage. We didn't even hear the garage door open. So we're like, okay, whatever. So we just ate dinner. We just sat there talking until 3 in the morning. 3 in the morning came. We said, okay, let's just sleep. So we started packing up. It was like 3:17. All of a sudden, the psychic got scratched on her face all the way down to her neck. And there was like three long scratches along her face all the way to the back of her neck. and we're like, oh my God. And then all of a sudden we literally saw scratches just like appearing all over her body, like down her arms, on her back of her neck again. So I lifted up her shirt. It was all the way down her back and even through her bra strap. And we're like, how's that even possible? Because I lifted up her shirt and I was taking pictures and we're taking video of the attack happening. And then all of a sudden she got possessed. So I handed my camera to the investigator and I grabbed her. It was literally fighting her, trying to get her outside. And the investigator was recording the whole time. So finally, whatever it was, released her, and we went back to review the footage because we said, because she was asking what happened because she totally blacked out. She doesn't remember anything. So we came back and we were trying to show her the footage. There was nothing. It showed me picking her up, and then there was nothing. And then it showed after I set her down back in the house, set her down, and we're like, where's the rest of the footage? That's weird because there was nothing there. So it showed me taking her out, and then all of a sudden it was just like, it was like the camera stopped and then started recording again once we came back and I set her down. And so, yeah, that was totally weird. But anyway, so I had somebody else come in. Somebody just reached in. Here's the weird part. Somebody reached out to me. On our website and said, hey, you guys are working on a case that I can help you with. And we're like, what's he talking about? So I call him up and, Eric calls and he said, no, I don't want to talk to you. I need to talk to the other guy. And I never met him. We didn't even know who he was. All of a sudden So I talked to him, I interviewed him, and anyway, he ended up, he reached out about this case, and he was talking about that case, and nobody else knew what we were working on except certain people. So he came in, and he actually did a ritual in the house, and totally everything was fine after that. It was really weird.
That's crazy. That's an amazing story. How long has it been since you last investigated there?
That was the last time, and this was about 4 years ago.
And nothing has happened since?
Nothing has happened ever since he got rid of whatever was there. He was a demonologist, and how he got in contact with us. I talked to him, I interviewed him, and he said it was weird how he even said, I don't know what it was. There was somebody in California that needed my help, and he said he just started, like, getting a feeling, and then he said, this was him. This is who needs help, and he reached out, and boom, he just found us.
That's amazing that all happened, you know. Paranormal always has so many surprises, but, you know, there's some things you just really could never expect.
Yeah. And here's the funny part, is I've been contacted by producers, and they wanted to talk to me about you know, what's like the worst case that you've ever had. And so I've actually sent them the footage of the whole possession. And they said, we want to have nothing to do with this. We don't even want to use a story. It's too scary for TV.
Wow.
We cannot use this on the air. They're like, it's too scary.
That's amazing. And what was that like for you to, you know, work on that for so long and, you know, kind of go through all of that and then actually finally have a result through an unexpected way?
Actually, I mean, it was draining. But after, once I was done and once we got closure, and I mean, I reached out to so many people for help. Because this case was just that crazy, and I was talking to different demonologists. They said, nope, don't want to have anything to do with it. But once we finally got that closure and got the client help to where she was comfortable living in the house again, that was like the biggest, I guess. It was just a big relief for me and felt I had a lot of gratification from that, saying we finally beat it and we kind of pushed through it. It was just, I don't know, just an amazing feeling.
And this sounds like a very, very intense case, you know. Kudos to you for, you know, sticking through it and seeing it all the way till the end. But I'm sure, I know you've done tons of other investigations. What has been the scariest or weirdest experience you've had through all your time investigating?
Honestly, I think most of it has to do with this case. I mean, there was anything that anybody else think would ever want to experience, this all had it. Yes, I've seen several apparitions in my life on the Queen Mary. I mean, there's been several locations I could just name where I have seen an apparition, and I've been able to capture apparitions on camera. There was one theater in LA that has never been investigated. To this day, we're the only investigators allowed to do it. And I captured two apparitions on video, and I showed them a couple of people that were called us in and have witnessed an apparition in these two locations. I didn't even show them where it was. I just played it, and I said, look at what I got. And they're like, oh, my God, that's exactly what I saw. They said, you captured that here in this location. And I didn't tell them where it was. And they pointed out exactly where I captured that footage.
Wow. You know, with all the places that you've investigated, I know you've investigated some amazing places. Where would you still like to investigate the most?
I still would like to go back to the theater that I was talking about. I think that's still the one place that I would love to go back, because there's so, and we only had like 45 minutes to do what we were able to do. So within that 45 minutes, capturing two apparitions and having so many different experiences happen in that such short period of time, I mean, I just would love to go there and spend several hours and document everything. That would be amazing. The one location that I'm really, really sad that is no longer available to the public, because I was giving tours there, and it was an amazing location. And that was the Lincoln Heights Jail in L.A. That place was amazing. And the people that I was able to get in there and to do some investigations, they were like, wow, thank you so much for bringing us along and able to give us tours and let us do an investigation here. It was amazing. So those I think are still probably like the biggest places that I would love to go back to. I've been all over the states, and those are still probably my two favorite locations.
So I have a question for my mom. She is listening to the show and heard you talking about your experiences with shadow people. And she was wondering if you've had any experiences with shadow people in the pool area of the Queen Mary.
Yes. There was one that we were in the dressing room area, and we could swear we saw a shadow person dart across going from the dressing area to through one of the doors in the pool area. So we started snapping pictures, and a friend of mine got, it looked like, well, it was footprints, but we were looking at the size of the footprint, and it had to be a woman's footprint. And they were wet footprints. That's what the weird part. And obviously there's no water there. So it looked like somebody just got out of the pool and took two steps, and then there was no more footsteps. Yeah, and they were wet. God, I wish I had, I have to get that photo.
That's incredible.
I know he has it, but yeah. And we were so at that time, so we went back into the pool. I mean, back into the dress in the dressing area, and we were hearing splashing. We were hearing like laughing and screaming, like people having fun in the pool. I can hear it being in the pool area, and somebody else was in the dressing area, and then he was like, he was saying what he was hearing. I was like, I can't hear it. And there was like several people saying, well, can you hear this? And we're like, no. And so there was a couple of us standing in the pool area. We're like, we're not hearing that. What are you guys talking about? And then they're like, look, we just heard it again. So I ran upstairs to see what was happening. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, maybe it's people outside of the pool area. So I ran upstairs, ran out of the pool area, ran into the lobby. There was nobody around. It was quiet. It was, and this was like at 2 in the morning. So I ran back down. I ran down the hallway. Nothing. So I came back, and they were like, look, listen, I'm hearing it again. And we're like, what the heck is going on? So we talked to a couple other people. We talked to Bob and Brian, who used to facilitate the they used to have Planet Paranormal there on the ship, and we told mm-hmm. them about the story that what we experienced, and they said, yeah, we've heard that also. So it was confirmed with what we heard or what we experienced, and they've experienced the same thing.
Well, that's amazing.
So the shadow person that we saw, you know, we saw that, and that person left the footprints there. I mean, that kind of tied into what we saw with that shadow person.
Yeah, the Queen Mary pool area is so active. I've seen a shadow person there for years. The shadow person I see is a man, but he's really intense. I know we're coming towards the end of the show, though, but are there any websites, upcoming interviews, or events you would like to mention?
No, nothing at this time. I mean, the only website that I have, you can check out my YouTube channel at the Parawakening on YouTube. I have a lot of my demos for my boxes, and I will be posting any investigations that we do there. Devil's Gate, I'll probably be posting there here shortly. And I think that's probably about it. I'm trying to work up a format to be on Live Paranormal again, but I'm thinking about doing maybe a live webcast or something like that, a video, something. We're just trying to work out the type of format that I want to do. It might be something just doing like a live chat or something like that.
Yeah, we're trying to get Sophia's line back. I don't know. It dropped, and she's trying to call back in and get back into her own show. But, Rob, thanks so much for coming on today.
Okay, no problem. And thank you for having me. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Still looking for a line to call in. But, yeah, thanks so much, Rob. And I hope things clear out as far as the lockdown and or any other pending lockdowns, and because we'd love to see you again, maybe even aboard the ship.
We need to definitely get together again, and I was going to tell Sophia that too. So we'll definitely have to do something.
Yeah, and the urban exploration and things like that, we've always wanted to try that, and you and Eric seem like the experts at it.
Let's go.
Okay, we'll work that out. Thanks so much, Rob.
Okay. All right. See ya.
Yeah, and, trying to get Sophia's line back in here. I don't know what happened there. Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And I was going to tell her, great show today, Sophia. Yeah, and RTC Box Inventor, liveparanormal.com, as you mentioned. Brother host, Rob Hernandez, everyone go to paranormalawakening.com, as you mentioned, too. YouTube search, The Para Awakening, for evidential captures. Twitter at PCH Paranormal. Upcoming, we have paranormal investigative author Sam Baltris on the show next Saturday, the 1st. Also, we have Shadow People, The Hat Man, Angel, author Heidi Hollis will be on the program on August 22nd. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli, and I don't know what's going on. Maybe your battery went out on the phone. But The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll see you all next week.
Hi, this is Debbie and Sion Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.